I was trying to finish up this series in Ecclesiastes. I'd like to finish it up in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Of course, at this point, it looks like it'll be, well, counting today and 3 more weeks to come, that it'll be 4 weeks. Of course, this is coming from the guy who originally thought he'd do it in 10 weeks. Don't ask me where I ever thought that was. I only missed it by 4 weeks. That's 40%. So apparently, I could be a weatherman. You know, if you just got to come close. I know we've been taking it in some larger sections, and there are some verses in there that might seem a little awkward sometimes, and some verses that we skipped over. Now, just so you know, if you have questions on any of the verses, particularly the ones we skipped over, those harder ones, please feel free to ask Pastor Kent about them anytime, and he'll happily guide you through those. Let's pray, and we'll get into our stuff for today. Father, thank you for your word and truth. And sometimes stuff is difficult, but that doesn't mean it's irrelevant. It doesn't mean it's not for us, and it doesn't mean that you won't make it clear. So teach us as we again look into your word. Thank you for the gift of it. Thank you for the reality of it. Thank you for your patience with us as we try to discern, understand, live, comprehend what you've put here. So make this word, well, you know what's going on in everyone's life here. I don't, I never could, but you do and you can. So I pray that you would unfold for them your truth, that your spirit would very clearly attach it to lives and situations, giving that wisdom and direction, because that's certainly some of the things we gather for. So again, we open ourselves to you for your will and way, we pray, in Christ's name, amen. Ecclesiastes 9 is where we've made it up to. Ecclesiastes 9, page 612, if you're using the Pew Bible. We're going to take this in two sections. You see your outline is really full today. It's only got two blanks, one for the first section, one for the second section. Feel free to write in whatever thoughts come to your mind through there. We're going to go verses 1 through 10 and then 11 through 18. We're thinking about life in the hands of God. That's what we're thinking about right now. Life in the hands of God. A bit more specifically, living our lives in the hands of God. I mean, that's really what it's about. You know, how do we live our life in the hands of God? How can we live our lives in the hand of God? That assumes you want to. I'm assuming at least for most of you, that's kind of why you're here, because you want to be able to do that a little bit more fully. You want to be able to understand him a little bit more clearly. You know, now some people are too proud, you know, they want to control their own lives. They want to, you know, and that's certainly an option. It's not the best one. Trust me, you know, it's not the best option, but it is an option, you know, for you. You certainly can try to control your own life. I was going to say best of luck to you, but you're going to need a lot more than luck. I think this chapter also makes very clear to us, you know, why it is the best choice to live your life in the hands of God rather than seeking to grab control yourself. So follow along. We're going to begin in verse 1, go 1 through 10, and then we'll pick up the second half in a bit. He says, "Indeed, I took all this to heart and explained it all. The righteous, the wise, and their works are in God's hands. People don't know whether to expect love or hate. Everything lies ahead of them. Everything is the same for everyone. There is one fate for the righteous and the wicked, for the good and the bad, for the clean and the unclean, for the one who sacrifices and the one who does not sacrifice. As it is for the good, so it is for the sinner. As for the one who takes an oath, so for the one who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun. There is one fate for everyone. In addition, the hearts of people are full of evil, and the madness is in their hearts while they live. After that, they go to the dead. But there is hope for whoever is joined with all the living, since a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead don't know anything. There is no longer a reward for them because the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their envy have already disappeared, and there is no longer a portion for them in all that is done under the sun." Verse 7, "Go, eat your bread with pleasure and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, For God has already accepted your works. Let your clothes be white all the time, and never let oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife you love all the days of your fleeting life, which has been given to you under the sun, all your fleeting days, for that is your portion in life and in your struggle under the sun. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your strength, because there is no work, planning, knowledge, or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. So the first thought, excuse me, for us in following God is to follow God rather than your plans. You know, follow God rather than your plans. It seems obvious, but we get, you know, we get distracted from this too easily. Notice right there in the very first verse, he says, the righteous, the wise, and their works are in God's hands. And no better place to be, there's no better place for you to be than right there in God's hands. Now, the verse makes it very clear, we don't know what's coming, but God does. We don't know it, but God does know it. He knows what's coming, and whatever it is that's coming, God will be there for us in it, and He will be there for us through it, and He will be there with us after it. You see, He will be there. He doesn't just you know, wing us off on our own and say, maybe I'll see you at the end. You know, that's what it is. That's not how He lives. You know, and our plans are really a very lousy substitute for God's direction. Our plans are a lousy substitute for God's leading. You know, he says, you know, everything lies ahead. That's everything. Whatever's coming, it lies ahead. From this moment on, it lies ahead. It's unknown to us, but it is known to God. You know, it is known to Him, and He knows what's coming, and He knows how to get us through it. We went up to La Porte for Mandy's birthday it was several years ago now. Her birthday is January 10th. La Porte is up in the northwest part of Indiana in the snow belt. Several years ago, they got over 10 feet of snow. This is what lake effect snow does for you. Well, after her birthday, we left and we were starting to head home, and some of that lake effect snow had started. As we were driving through town, it was heavy, but you know, there's street lights and buildings kind of frame things out so you can kind of see where you go. As we headed out the south end of town, there's no more street lights. And now we're kind of out in the wide open and going to where it's going to be even more wide open. Didn't take real long, and we began to think, should we turn around? Should we turn around and go back? You know, or should we keep going? And I noticed ahead of me there are two taillights. Now, I was familiar with the road. I mean, I've driven that road plenty of times, and I kind of knew where it went. But in this snowstorm, I really couldn't even tell where the road was at this point. So we're driving, and I saw those two taillights. And it seemed that he knew where the road was. And so I locked my eyes on those two taillights. Because it is snowing like, you know, like a hurricane. And it is coming down. And I am not sure where the road is, but this guy seemed to know where he was going. So I followed him. I went whatever speed he went, even though in parts of it was a little uncomfortable for me. I know that's hard for Tierney to believe, but you know, it was a little hard for me to go that fast in some of it. But I knew I couldn't lose sight of him, because if I lost sight of those taillights, if I lost sight of that, I was going to be lost in the storm. I wouldn't even know where the stinking road was. We did this for about 40 minutes. It took us about 40 minutes to get from La Porte to US 30, and you know, it's that white knuckle thing, and you're staring, and every muscle is tense, and you lean closer to the windshield, because we all know you can see better just because you lean. You know, it's like, you know, be quiet, I need to see. But these are things we do. So we get to US 30. Now, there's lights there on US 30, and it is still snowing like a snow globe, you know. And so we turn onto US 30, and as we get up there, it wasn't even an eighth of a mile. Not even an eighth of a mile. It wasn't even snowing anymore. That's how lake effect snow is. I mean, there's a definite line where it stops and starts. But we could see the road ahead of us, you know, and it was clear, you know, and it was much easier for us to go, you know, and to go along. You know, sometimes following God is very clear. I mean, think about it. You know, it is, you know, don't kill people, don't steal, you know, don't lie. I mean, sometimes it's very clear, but sometimes storms come. And even though we're familiar with it, sometimes it's tough for us to see. And it's tough for us, you know, to see the way things get murky. Our vision gets a little blurred, you know. Focus on God rather than following your plans. I'm not saying it's not good to plan. I'm not saying don't plan. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is follow God rather than your plans. When you get, as you're going along, you know, and you're following the plan, whatever it might be, even just for the day, and God rearranges that, follow God rather than your plans. Follow Him. And when things get crazy, follow God rather than your plans. You know, He's there. He is not going to leave you on your own. Now, Solomon expresses a bit of frustration there in verses 2 and 3. He says, everything's the same for everyone. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, the one who sacrifices, the one who doesn't sacrifice, for the good, for the sinner, for the one who takes an oath, for the one who fears an oath. This is an evil, he said, and all that's done under the sun. There is one fate for everyone. What he's saying here is this is wrong. That's what he's saying. He's saying this is wrong. It's not fair. The good, the bad, and the ugly, we all die. We all end up in the grave. This is evil. You know, when he's talking about, he says that, you know, that there's this common destiny when he's talking about under the sun. This is what he's talking about. Here on this earth, there is that common end for all. The good, the bad. Life is 100% fatal. Always was. Well, after the fall it was. And it will be until Jesus returns. And this is what he's talking about. Life under the sun. Life here on this earth. But notice how verse 4 starts. But there is hope. Man, I was reading that and I studied that and I thought, you know, yes, we share a common destiny on this earth. Under the sun, we share a common destiny, but we have different destinies in eternity for those who follow God. Now, what I mean by that is those who have a real commitment to Him. Not one simply in name only, you know, but a real relationship where we choose to follow Him rather than our plans, because we know He is not only our Savior, but He is our God as well. That it's not something where we just, you know, we say that, you know, well, you know, I follow God and I have a commitment to Him, and I have a commitment to Him, but I don't really follow Him. You see, I have a commitment to Him, but you know, it's, we just kind of got to live in this world still. You know, I have a commitment to Him, but you know, things are getting crazy. We have a commitment to Him, but there's this other stuff I want to do. No, it's those who have a commitment to Him and want to follow Him rather than our own plans, because we know He is not only our Savior, He is our God. And so we choose to follow Him. I like that phrase at the end of verse 4 there. He says, a live dog is better than a dead lion. I thought, I've never used that phrase before. Maybe I'll start throwing it into conversations. To them, a dog was not domesticated. They would never have a dog in the house. You know, we have dogs as pets. They would never do that. To them, a dog was a filthy, disgusting animal. He was a creature that ran around and you know, got in the garbage and the trash, and it was everywhere it wasn't supposed to be. And it was just a filthy, you know, just a filthy animal to them. There was nothing lower than this. Now, today we might say, well, a live cat's better than a dead lion. too much. The point of verses 4 through 6 there, you know, is that life is better than death. Death brings everything to an end. Everything here on earth. Everything under the sun. When he says under the sun, he's talking about life here on this earth. Everything under the sun. What Solomon is doing, he's emphasizing the importance of seizing the opportunities while we're alive. Seize those opportunities while you're alive. Notice what he says in verse 7, go, eat your bread with pleasure, drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your clothes be white all the time. Never let oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with your wife you love all the days of your fleeting life, which has been given to you under the sun, all your fleeting days, for that is your portion in life and in your struggle under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your strength, because there is no work, planning, knowledge, or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. Do you see how we started that section? Verse 7, he says, go. Go. Seize the day. He says, you know, to go, you know, go through your day as if you really mean it. Go through your day with intention. Go through your day realizing that you are alive. Go through your day realizing who your God is, who came and gave his life for you. Go through your day realizing who your Savior is, who the one who is ultimately in control of this. Go and seize that day. To be alive, you know, means we have the opportunities that this day offers. You still have all the opportunities that this day offers. Go, he says, go and seize the day that God has given you. We talked about it last week. Don't be paralyzed by the past. You can't be paralyzed by your past. If all you're going to do is live in your past, you know, I can't do this because of that. Don't be paralyzed by your past and don't be hypnotized by the future. Live this day that he has given you. Again, it's not that we're unaffected by our past, because we are. It's not that we don't plan for the future, because we do. What it is those are not the determining factor in how I'm going to live. How I'm going to live is I'm going to follow God. You know, and I'm going to walk after him. Go, seize the day that God has given you. Now, this is not grab, you know, for all the gusto that you can. It's not go and, you know, it's go and enjoy. Embrace this day that God has given you. What he has given you this day is a gift. The focus is on the gift, not the gain. You see, our focus shifts from not to see how much we can get of all this stuff. Our focus shifts on the gift that God has given us. The gift of life, the gift of this day that he has given to us. I mentioned a poem to you last week that my mom used to say to us. And I found a rendition of that poem this week. You know, the one that my mom used to say. I say it's a rendition because they said that the date they put on it was 2015. And trust me, I'm older than that. You know, but this is really close at any rate. It says, you know, what did you do? Have you made someone happy or made someone sad? What have you done with this day that you had? You know, God gave it to you to do just as you would. I can hear her voice. Did you do what was wicked or do what was good? Did you hand out a smile or just give them a frown? Did you lift someone up or push someone down? Did you lighten some load or some progress impede? Did you look for a rose or just gather a weed? What did you do with your beautiful day? God gave it to you. Did you throw it away? Go. Seize the day. This is what he says there. You know, go and seize it. All he talks about there in verses 8 through 10, these are things of life, particularly life with others. What are you choosing to do with them? When he talks here and he says, you know, let your clothes be white all the time. You know, this would be a picture of a banquet, possibly even a wedding. You know, let your clothes be white. You know, be ready for this joyful, for this celebration. Be ready. You know, let your clothes be white all the time. Never let oil be lacking on your head. That's that expression. They would wear that for a special occasion. They would wear that. You know, when they were going out, when they knew they were going to be interacting with people. When he's talking about, you know, that oil be on your head. Enjoy life with the wife you love all the days of your fleeting life. Enjoy that life. You know, we can let so many stupid things get in our way, can't we? You know, and trust me, Jenny and I have had plenty of times we let stupid things get in our way. One I'm very grateful for is I have a wife who doesn't hold on to those, because I've given her plenty to work with. Enjoy that. He says, this is your portion. This is your struggle. Whatever your hands find to do. He says, you know, do it. Seize that day. This is all he's talking about. All of these things, sharing meals, family celebrations, you know, faithful, loving marriage and family, hard, satisfying work. These are the things he's talking about. Make every occasion a special occasion, you know, even if it's ordinary and routine. Don't live life searching, you know, don't live life searching for those special things, you know, that you think you need to find joy. What you need to do is make everyday things special. This is why our grandkids love being with Jenny, because she makes them special, and she makes them feel special. You know, don't waste your time looking for those big moments. You know, when they come along, grab them and enjoy them. But in the meantime, make everyday things special. The Bible never promises us, you know, that we'll know only good health, financial prosperity, and happiness. And those who preach that are preaching lies. They're preaching falsehood. They're not preaching the gospel. They're preaching selfishness and self-centeredness. They're preaching a God who is here to serve you, not you to serve God. They're preaching that, you know, because you're a king's kid, you know, you get to live like a king's kid, and other foolishness like that. God never promises that things are going to be easy. In fact, he tells us quite clearly in many places that you will face, in this world, you will face tribulation. But he goes on, he says, but be of good cheer, as King James, for I have overcome the world. You're going to face that trouble, but you know what? This can still be a special day. Why? Because I've overcome it. I am with you. I know what's going on in your life. I know where you are going, and I know how to get you through this. You know, and this is what he's telling us. The Bible never attaches faith and righteousness with attaining more stuff in this world. God is more concerned with the person you are. He is more concerned with making you holy and shaping you into the image of Christ than he is to make you rich, than he is to make you, you know, healthy and happy. He is more concerned to make you holy. You know, biblical faith doesn't manipulate God to serve us. Instead, it's biblical faith is abandoning all to serve him. Verse 10, he says, whatever your hand finds to do. Whatever. Whatever comes along. Whatever it is that unfolds in your day. He has given you this day, and whatever it is that unfolds that, he says, do it with all your strength. Don't hold back. There is no work, planning, knowledge, he says, or wisdom after this. So here, when you're here under the sun, he says, do it. Go, seize the day. Do the very best with this day while you're still able to. While you are still able to do something, do the very best with this day. Because this is the day you have, and tomorrow and the next day are not promised to us. So do the very best you have with this day here. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it later. Have you ever said that, you know, before? I mean, we've all had that. Well, you know, I'll do better next time. Do the very best you can this time. You know, make the most, whatever your hand finds to do, whatever it is your hand finds to do, you know, go do it. Seize that, you know, seize that day. Enjoy the enjoy life and receive it as that gift of God. Receive it with joy as the gift of God. Whatever it is your hand finds to do. You know, this life is just a breath. Follow God rather than your plans. You know, cherish, protect the people God has given you in your life. If you're too busy, to enjoy the people God has put in your life, you're too busy. You've chosen to do too much. You have chosen to put too much in your life. If you're too busy, you know, if it's your job, if it's, you know, all the activities. We thought we were busy when we had three kids and we tried to get to all of their activities. Now it's times eight. You know, we have eight grandkids. We're trying to get to all their activities and stuff. If you're too busy to enjoy the people God has brought into your life, then your life's too busy. You have to ask yourself whose plan it is that you're following. You know, one of the books I read while studying said this about this verse. It said, ride a bike, see the Grand Canyon, go to the theater, learn to make music, visit the sick, care for the dying, cook a meal, feed the hungry, watch a film, read a book, laugh with some friends until it makes you cry. Play football, run a marathon, snorkel in the ocean, listen to Mozart, ring your parents, write a letter, play with your kids, spend your money, learn a language, plant a church, start a school, speak about Christ, travel to somewhere you've never been, adopt a child, give away your fortune and then some, shape someone else's life by laying down your own life. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. With all your strength. Whatever it is. It may not be what you planned. But do you think God doesn't know where you are? Do you think He doesn't know what it is you're facing? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your strength. Pick up with me, verse 11. Again, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, or the bread to the wise, or riches to the discerning, or favor to the skillful. Rather, time and chance happen to all of them. For a man certainly does not know his time, like a fish caught in a cruel net, or like birds caught in a trap. So people are trapped in an evil time, as it suddenly falls on them. I have observed this, and also is wisdom under the sun, and it is significant to me. There was a small city with a few men in it. A great king came against it, surrounded it, built a large siege work against it. Now a poor wise man was found in the city, and he delivered the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered that poor man. And I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. The calm words of the wise are heeded more than the shouts of a ruler over fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner can destroy much good. So I was looking at this, you know, and you're thinking of living life in the hands of God. Follow God rather than your talents. Follow God rather than your talents. You know, verse 11, he said, again, I saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong. Sometimes it is. You know, sometimes the race is to the swift, and sometimes the battle is to the strong. But that is not always the case. Notice the rest of the verse. You know, he says, you know, time and chance happen to all of them. This isn't, you know, we think this is, you know, sometimes the way it always goes. It isn't, because sometimes stuff happens, is what he's saying here. You know, sometimes stuff happens, and if someone's relying on their talents, if what we're doing is relying on our talents as our fail-safe, there will come a day when they will fail. There will come a day when those talents will fail. Skill can certainly help in life. You know, there's not a question about that. This is not saying that it won't. But skill is not the determining factor of our happiness. It's not the determining factor of our happiness at all. And when skill is elevated to that place of determining our happiness, we have constant swings of emotion. You see, when what we're depending on is our talent, we have those constant swings of emotion. When we do well, we're pleased. You know, when we do well, we're pleased. When we have an off day, or when our talents deteriorate, as they will deteriorate. You know, and as those talents deteriorate, then we're either angry or we grieve. You see, so if what we're depending on is our talents, we have this horrible swing of emotions all the time. You know, we're way up or we're way down. You know, it's whatever's going on. We live in a culture that highly values that whole self-expression, self-fulfillment, self-actualization. We value those as something that is going to help us achieve happiness. That these are the things of what happiness is. You know, we emphasize our talents and our abilities and we overlook God. We overlook Him. You know, we're much more inclined to follow our talents rather than God. And that may achieve some temporary pleasure. But it sets us up for depths of depression. And it sets us up for catastrophic failure in eternity. If what you're depending on is your own talents, you are setting yourself up for catastrophic failure in eternity. You know, our abilities are no guarantee of success in life. And our abilities give us no standing with God. You know, these are a gift of God. They don't give us standing with God. You know, it's who we are, that relationship we have. We tend to live as if the one thing that is certain, death. We tend to live as if that one thing that we know is certain really isn't. And we live as if these things that aren't certain, wealth and happiness and health, we live as if those are certain. We live backwards. We live our life backwards of the reality of what's going on. He says, you know, verse 12, for man certainly does not know his time. Like a fish caught in a cruel net, or like birds caught in a trap. So people are trapped in an evil time as it suddenly falls on them. It reminded me of what James tells us. He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business there and make profit. He says, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like smoke that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Your life's that vapor, that smoke, that breath. He says, instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. It's not your talent and wise planning. You see, for man certainly does not know his time. We need to follow God rather than our talents. You know, a message that seems to come through here in verses 12 and 13, you know, is that we need to put our faith in something else that's not under the sun. That's not tied with life under the sun. For man certainly does not know his time, he said. We often have our life turned upside down by something we never saw coming. Something we never saw coming. I was thinking of my friend, Tim Johnson, some of you know him. What was it, a month ago now? About that, I told you guys, I think it was shortly, his wife died unexpectedly, Jeannie. They're both younger than us, and she had cancer, and they were treating it with radiation, and she was doing fantastic with the radiation, chemo. She was doing great with the chemo. It knocked this cancer back in an unbelievable way. What they wanted to do was knock it back and down so they could do surgery. And it far exceeded the doctor's expectations, like to where her numbers were, you know, like back to normal. And they did the surgery, and something went wrong. You know, and she lost too much blood, and she never recovered. She never made it. She didn't even make it 24 hours after the surgery. And Tim's life has been, to say it's in an upheaval is an understatement. For the last month or so, he's really been involved with, you know, they had a memorial here. They were missionaries in Japan for, oh man, decades. But they had the service here, and he went to Japan, and they had a memorial for it. His kids live in Japan. Their two kids and one grandson all live in Japan. So Tim doesn't have any of his immediate family here. And he returned home. He's returning home. And he put in... I saw a post, he said, it said, the grief of an empty home. We often have our life turned upside down by something we never saw coming. But God did see it coming. And He knows how to get us through it. It doesn't mean that it's always easy. It doesn't mean that it's always pleasant. But it does mean that it's real. You know, on one hand, my death is certain, and so is yours. You know, that appointment's already been made. Now, on the other hand, from our viewpoint, the time of our death is uncertain. You know, to our knowledge, that timing is uncertain. So what should life look like in the meantime? Well, he tells us here, live life in the hands of God. You know, to do that, follow God rather than your plans. Follow God rather than your talents. Follow God. Go embrace that day. Make the most of. You know, like he says there, do whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your strength. But follow God. Follow God. You know, not your plans, not your talents and abilities. He'll use those, praise Him for them, but follow Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word and truth to us. Thank You for Your patience with us. Thank You for the gift of Your grace, the gifts that You have surrounded us with. Father, we sit here and we are a blessed people, and we know that. And as we sit here, we all have those things that we've thought about, that we've maybe even complained about, that, oh boy, if I only had this or that, or I hope to achieve this or that. Father, You've given us this day. Help us to live this day, to grab and seize this day You've given us, and to go at it with all the strength that You've given us. It's not our plans. It's not our abilities, Lord. It's You. It's You we want to follow. It's You we want to plan on. It's You that we want to live our lives for. When we get distracted, remind us. When we begin to wander, please draw us back. Thank You for Your patience and love. Thank You for the gift of Your grace and the gift of Your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.